Coming up next, it's Natalie Cutler-Welsh with her show, Up Your Brave. Community, connections, holistic health, and more on RCR. Reality Check Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Well, happy Wednesday from Queenstown. This is Natalie Cutler-Welsh coming live at you on the live stream on the Up Your Brave show. And this is my first time. Well, it's really my second time in the studio. I came in the other day. If you don't listen to Rodney, I was a little guest on Rodney's show yesterday. It was amazing. But it's really exciting to be in the studio. So first of all, I want to lovingly acknowledge all of our listeners for helping this to come to fruition, for helping us to be able to create such an incredible space with incredible, very professional, hopefully, sound. I'm going to do some reels. If you want to check out Up Your Brave on the socials, you can see behind the scenes with Dave, who basically lives in the sound booth. This morning, Paul was here. These guys get here at 4:30 in the morning. I'm not joking. They have so much commitment. You should see how many people Paul interviews. For those of you that listen to The Breakfast Show, you'll know. Alistair was also in the studio yesterday, and he's coming back today. We are working so hard because it is a pivotal time in history, and I just wanted to thank you for helping us to make this happen and to acknowledge you for everything you do, even if you're not on a microphone like I am. Everything you do makes a huge difference. So I'm in Queenstown. I'm going down memory lane. I used to visit my grandmother. If you don't know, I'm a Canadian Kiwi, 100% Kiwi by heritage. So I used to come and visit my grandmother. She lived in Goldfield Heights. I used to stay with her. She would paint the Remarkables onto silk from her window. That was her view. It was so incredible. But the reason I'm down, as well as recording in the studio, is kind of a sad and exciting reason. I came down to be the MC for the Safe and Effective Roadshow. You may have heard a few interviews we've done about it. Rodney and I talked about it yesterday. This is a roadshow, which means a multitude of events. In fact, right now as we speak, the Nelson event is happening. And if you're in Wellington or you can get yourself to Wellington on Friday, I would highly recommend it. It's an incredible event. I've got someone here, a special guest in the studio with me. Megan, who was one of the speakers at the Dunedin event, is here with me. Welcome to the Up Your Brave show, Megan.
Hello. Thank you, Natalie. It's nice to be here.
This is our second time connecting on the show because I interviewed you many moons ago all about the Wellington protest and your experience as a mandated medical health worker. We're not going to dive into that, but I know you were a speaker sharing your journey. What are your reflections on the Safe and Effective event?
First of all, I'm getting in there, and it was so exciting to see so many people there, willing to hear the stories of people. But right before I got up and spoke, Linda Wharton was talking about some of the people who have been injured by this this shot. And then after her was Barry Duffield. And his story just, I had to really fight back tears because I was about to get up on stage and talk and I didn't want to ruin my makeup. But man, that guy has got a pretty awful story. Mm. You know, I'm up there to talk about how grateful I am that I didn't take the shot. And here is a man who took it to keep his job. He didn't want it, you know, but he had to go traveling like a lot of other people in or any industry, but I've worked with a lot of people in film on River of Freedom, on the film that I help work with. He was taking it to be able to travel and do his job. And, you know, after the second shot, straight away, he couldn't breathe very well. He couldn't make it up his driveway. His heart was racing. His chest was just really heavy. And that guy's journey took him all the way to, you know, attempting to suicide because he was in such pain. And as a mental health nurse, mandated mental health nurse, that was just heartbreaking.
It was, and it was quite an emotional. It was an emotional event because a lot of the statistics that Linda covered. You know, we had Gary Mahler there giving some great health tips. We had someone talking, Dr. Frey Timmermans, talking about natural dentistry, things we don't get told about. We just go ahead and do what we're told, and we have the root canals and the fluoride and. But now we're thinking, we're second-guessing everything now. We're looking at things differently. Did you come away feeling a little bit more uplifted or clear on your path?
I just thought it was great that somebody like him and everybody else was willing to speak up because there's so many people that have been shouted down by their friends, told they're, you know, they're crazy by their medical teams, by the government. You know, there's no such thing as vaccine injury with this COVID shot. So it was fantastic to see people willing to stand up and talk about it. And then also there were talks that were hopeful, telling us how to, you know, looking at different ways of looking after our health, not following the guys in the white coats.
Well, you know, it was about the many C's that I love so much: courage, compassion, connection, and of course, truth, and hopefully justice. We had a whole section all about the legal side of things. Ken Burns spoke. We had Melissa zooming in from Australia. So it was such a jam-packed schedule. Massive love and shout out to Donna, who arranged the entire event, pulled it all together. But also, like I said, when I was MC, you know, I'm standing on the stage and I said, it's not just the people up here, right, at the mic. It's you in the audience, whether you have really upped your brave to even walk into the room because this is quite uncomfortable for you for whatever reason, or you're totally on board and you already know everything we're talking about, whatever, wherever you sit, everything you do, you know, every conversation you initiate, every time you listen compassionately to someone who's had a hard time, whether that's been a relationship thing like me or a medical thing like other people, everyone's role is really important. So yeah, if you're in Wellington or you can get yourself there, then definitely get a ticket. Yes, they are recording the Nelson and Wellington event. So yes, you can purchase for a contribution the video version, which is what I would definitely recommend to people if they're not able to get there. Any other comments, Megan, about that?
I'd walked in wondering if I was just going to bump into a whole lot of people I already know, people who know what's going on. But it was fantastic. I sat next to a mandated fireman who was taking notes furiously, and had such a great chat with him. He's back at work now, but it was great to see he was learning so much. And I got to chat to another young couple who were there. They'd come along with friends and they're just a little bit interested, so wanted to come and have a listen. And this guy had been on the convoy in Canada. And yeah, so it was fantastic to see people that don't have all this information and they want to know what's going on. So yeah, if you've got a friend that you want to bring along, encourage them, definitely.
Absolutely. And it was amazing. You know, I actually got the chance. One of the things I love is meeting IRL in real life with people that I know from Facebook, but I haven't met before, like the incredible Mary Hobbs, who writes so eloquently and so poignantly with her articles. We finally got to meet in person. And the whole tribe of ladies and a few men that came over the hill from Wanaka, it was so amazing to meet them. And I met another woman from Wanaka. And then me, as the super connector, I'm like, oh, have you met these other ladies? They're from Wanaka. And they go, oh, we meet monthly with a group and we love to just talk about truth and freedom. And so here I am connecting these Wanaka people to each other. I was in my element. It was really amazing, but also very sobering to hear those statistics again. Because even though it has been 4+ years, it's been a long haul. It's been a long road. And for people like Barry, and there's thousands with similar stories who are going unseen and unacknowledged, it's quite a tragic thing. But we did leave feeling more uplifted. And Anna McKendra spoke, and she talked about re-envisioning the future of health, which is what I'm personally excited about. Next up, I'm going to read something to you guys from my personal Facebook page, if you don't follow me on Facebook. This is what I wrote. It definitely caused a stir. I had a lot of people loving it, and then a few people really just jumping in to attack me, which is kind of what, you know, we're a little bit used to it. But sit back and have a listen. I wrote this 5 days ago. If you're looking for it, I'm wearing a yellow, bright yellow mustard top, and it's a photo of my face. Here we go. We were told that Trump was bad, that Russia was the enemy, that celebrities were important, that holistic health is dodgy, and that network marketing was dodgy too. We were told to trust the media, that doctors can fix your health. It's high time and divine time to realize the often sponsored source of our views and opinions, the fallacy of many facts, and to think again and for ourselves, to see things, if you're open to it, with fresh eyes, to let go of the lies that have surrounded us our whole lives. It's an exciting and transformative time in history. It's a time of spiritual awakening and human expansion. We, humanity, has been numbed out and dumbed down for far too long. The time has come. Corruption will be revealed. People will become more empowered. But it will be an undulating journey of reevaluation and readjusting our collective perspectives. Some will shoulder tap their truther friends to receive explanation. Some will wonder, but won't. Some will cling to their views and refuse to see things differently, and that's just the way it is. Who knew this is where life would be taking us? It's an exciting yet exhausting time to be alive. I'm grateful and up for the learning and the lessons that await. So that was my post, love heart emoji, X Nat, hashtag up your brave, fire emoji, right? A little bit of fire, a little bit of love in there. And I got lots of love, as I do, 108 comments. And most of the people commenting, I know them. You know, they're my friends. We're on the similar page. But a few people jumped in, and they shall remain nameless. You're welcome to go and read the comments. But it is fascinating, Megan, isn't it? How some people still get so triggered.
So upset by just asking questions.
Yeah. And I told someone the story of the response that I got, and then I read them my post, and he was like, wait, that was the post they got so upset about? It's you know, and it, as I often say on my show, if I wasn't so fascinated by humanity and human behavior, it would have been a much harder, it's been a hard 4.5 years, let's be honest, but it would have been much harder.
Yeah, but instead you can sit back and look at it and go, all right, okay. We're still learning.
Well, you know, someone else that is also fascinated by human behavior is one of my first guests coming up soon in a moment. First up, I'm going to be talking to Wayne Forrest. Now, Wayne was recommended to me by another guest, and I love when my guests do this. Rob Mokaraka recommended Wayne to me. Wayne is an inspirational speaker, a transformational coach, a tetraplegic, and a TEDx speaker. We're going to be chatting about self-development, reinvention, and showing up as a masculine man. So this is a pre-recorded interview. He's not here with me at the time, but we did the interview a few weeks back. He is incredible, and I just think it's divine timing, his message for the world. And after that, I've got returning guest Carrie Dell. She is a natural health practitioner and a master coach. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite things, which is frequency. And for the science people, we're going to be talking about where science meets nature. Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I am so thrilled to be chatting with a newfound friend. I'm talking today to Wayne Forrest on the topic of self-development, reinvention, and showing up as a masculine man. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
It's a pleasure to be here, Natalie. Thank you.
Well, huge shout out to our friend, our mutual friend, Rob Mokaraka, a previous guest on Reality Check Radio, who introduced us today. For those of you that don't know Wayne, Wayne Forrest is an inspiring speaker, a passionate educator, and a highly sought-after transformational coach and best-selling author. His new powerful book is called The Inner Warrior, The Power Within. Wayne shares his journey from the heart and teaches that our storms in our lives are the seeds of creating a relationship with our own power, the inner warrior within us. When we connect with this power, life gets easier and way more fun. I love the sound of that. Wayne is also a husband, a father, and wait for it, a grandfather. He says that his accident back in 1995 that left him in a wheelchair was the catalyst for his ongoing journey into self-awareness and personal development, which has given him the incredible life he is very grateful for. He is the co-creator of CHB, Swim for Lives, a charity which supports local schools in doing deep water programs to help save lives from drowning. Wayne shares his journey from the heart to enable others to believe that you too can build and live your dreams, living a life you love regardless of the struggles you face. He is also a TEDx speaker. Oh my goodness, Wayne, I am so thrilled to connect with you today. I am very curious about your story and the journey that you've had since then. Can we kick things off, if you're okay with it, to take us back to the moment of your accident?
Yeah, I grew up in a little place called Porongaho on the east coast of Hawke's Bay, to farming parents, and loved farming big time, right from day dot pretty much, and didn't get on with school so much, but I loved sport. So through the years, I loved playing rugby and cricket and things like that, like many New Zealand kids of my era. And I started playing rugby for my local club after I left school. I was 25 on the day of my accident, and was actually captain of the day in the last minutes of that game between a rival team. I made a big mistake and went into a tackle, and that collapsed into a ruck, and I trapped my head under my shoulder, dislocating my neck. Right in that moment, I just knew I couldn't move, I couldn't breathe. The pain was incredible in the back of my neck, and took quite a few minutes, nearly an hour and a half, I think, for the ambulance helicopter to come, because we were so rural. And he gave me some medicine. Pretty much the next 5 days were sort of pretty tetchy. I didn't know, only can remember little bits, but woke up in Burwood Hospital in Christchurch, pretty much looking at the ceiling and going, oh, please, God, let it be a dream, a bad dream, of course. And I woke up for many days like that, and a doctor came into my room and said, you're not going to walk again. Something happened in that moment, you know, just my heart sort of was ripped from my chest. I can remember feeling quite emotional about it in that moment. And there was this moment where I sort of said to myself, how am I going to survive this? And a voice in me, a nice, calm, quiet voice said, you're going to do what you love. And so that for me was farming at the time. I was married with two beautiful twin daughters of 16 months. And I had a farm that I was leasing off my parents. So I made in that decision that I was going to go back to the farm, and I was going to do my best to run that farm again. It took a number of years to do that to my full ability from a wheelchair, getting equipment like a motorbike, adapted, and my marriage didn't survive it, but I had this beautiful girl that came and worked for me, and she helped me on the farm and around the house, and looked after the kids when I had them and things like that, and we became really good friends. I must have seen potential in her because I later on married her. So she's now my wife for now 20, well, been together well over 20 years. So, yeah, that was pretty much the moment that changed my life.
I think a lot of people will be listening, and some people will be relating. Some people will know someone in a similar situation. Many won't. For many, this is like something they feared, maybe. I know that with my kids, they were going and jumping off some waterfall, and I get really nervous about things like that. I was at sports awards last night, and lots of kids were getting rugby prizes and things. But I love your attitude with that question that you asked, how am I going to survive this? And that quiet voice responding to you, you're going to do what you love. Have you been able to maintain that dedication, I suppose, to doing what you love? Tell me a little bit, if you're okay with it, about some moments when, like, what has been the hardest time maybe, or one of the many hard times since then, to kind of keep your positivity, keep going?
I think it was really dark in those first years, you know, like I didn't really understand the voice and the method that I put into place now in the later years, which has made it easier, if that makes sense. I've got a process that I do, but it's reminding myself that I get to choose to create a life. It doesn't matter what happens. In that moment, I don't, you know, shit can happen, and it doesn't have to be big shit. It can be small shit, and it happens often to most of us, and I think it definitely happens to me. And in those moments, we get to choose. Mm. We get to choose to to go, right, I'm still going to create something out of this. And as I've developed my knowledge of self-development and things, I've understand that there's always, and I love, there's a book called Think and Grow Rich, and there's a quote that says, in every adversity, every challenge, every heartache, there is a seed equal or greater than. And I have learned to find or look for the seed of opportunity.
And now you're providing inspiration to other people, which is so incredible as a coach and also as an author and a speaker. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your book. I know you'd like to say that every eye of the storm, in every eye of the storm, a warrior is born. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, there's life is for us. If you've been in self-development, some of the greats always say that life is for you. And in the eye of a storm, or when you're in the storm, it's hard to remember that. Mm-hmm. Or know that at all if you haven't been taught that. So that's the idea, that we've got this power inside of us, that quiet voice, that intuition, that gut sense that knows the answers to every solution or every problem. And so that's when, often when we hit rock bottom, is when we give up on trying to control the circumstances outside of us, and we look in, and that's when we see that power, which I like to call the inner warrior. Some might say it's God within them, or spirit, or higher self. It's got many names. I just like the inner warrior because for me, it's that power. That's that fighter. That's the power. It's the person that doesn't give up.
I know that for our listeners, you and I are on video, but for our listeners, primarily it will be audio. Can you let us know, in terms of, I guess, your current situation, like, can you, your mobility, so you're in a wheelchair, can you talk, tetraplegic is the term, but can you explain how that affects your mm-hmm. daily life? And I think it's just a good awareness for people to know what that means. And it's so easy for us to, you know, if we sprain our ankle or something, is just to think, like, it's, you know, different people have different challenges. And like you said, life happens to us, yeah, for us, not to us. But what is daily life like for you from a mobility perspective?
It's a great question. So I'm a tetraplegic or quadriplegic. They actually mean the same thing. It means four limbs. One's Latin, one's Greek, I think. Means four limbs are affected. So my four limbs are affected. I have very limited movement in my hands. No movement, actually, just wrist movement, forearms and biceps. So anything above my head is very challenging for me because I have trouble keeping my hands above my head. And so my power are really left in my shoulders. So I'm in a wheelchair, obviously. Don't have the ability to walk or move or stand with my legs. And so the challenges that I face daily, I have to get someone in to help me up and shower me and dress me in the morning. I do reasonably well in the evening for independence, but everyday things sometimes, I'm not used to talking about these things, but everyday things, I suppose, you know, dropping things on the floor, trying to pick up paper, just those little fine detail things, even picking up the phone or taking a video or, taking a picture at times can be challenging. And everything else that comes with access in a wheelchair. I've learned not to focus on that, though, Natalie, and I think that's my strength. I've managed to look forward and not at the current challenge I might have, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, like focusing on what you can do. And I guess this has led you to, and you quoted before, think and grow rich, but all this work you've been doing and now helping others with in terms of self-development and reinvention, how have you done that? Like, are there other particular people or speakers that stand out to you? How have you reinvented yourself since this life-changing experience?
Well, you can, let's go back a little bit. You know, that moment of that accident, I found out at the time of my accident I was dyslexic. So made a lot of sense. I didn't do very well with English or getting the words out of my brain down on paper. And ironically, I've written a book, so you can understand the book would be very easy to read. But these challenges that I had at that moment was I was a very physical guy. I was a farmer. I was loved running. I walked everywhere. I was a guy that worked with his hands. I shore sheep for a living on a side. I could share over 350 a day. I started shearing when I was 12, I think. So just to give you a sense of that being stripped away in one moment, and then going back to the farm and having to deal with all those frustrations of not being able to do what I used to do, but do as the best I could, and then running a farm again. It was that understanding that, oh, I achieved the dream. And then it was like, okay, what else can I do? What else? Because I wanted that juice of achieving a dream again. Mm-hmm. And so it was another dream, and it just happened to be back up New Zealand at the time, out extreme outdoor activities. So I ended up traveling to England, doing water skiing, abseiling, rock climbing, all these different things. And I grew in confidence because all of a sudden I was achieving things that I thought I wouldn't be able to achieve. And that took me into self-development. You could say the rest is history. And I started following people, leaders in self-development, like Mary Morrissey is who I trained under, but Tony Robbins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, as we were talking about before this. There's so many of them out there that you can follow. The School of Greatness podcast, I love. That's another one. He's brilliant.
Is that Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis Howes.
Yeah. Howes, yeah.
Yeah. There's so many. But that's, I got addicted to that. And before I knew it, I was a coach, and all of a sudden I was creating a life outside of farming, and I found a sense of love. Nothing beats helping someone create a dream or just, I quite often say, just quickly, Natalie, you know, I have a quote that I say, and our own healing is in the service of others. And I started to, through the outdoor courses, help others, and that's when I got a taste of, wow, this makes me feel better to help others about my situation. And so it grew from there.
So inspirational. I think, you know, leaning into that experience and then just becoming, I guess, like you said, this new and different, greater version of you in your first 30 years, it sounds like life was so physical, so body-based, right? The farming, the running, the rugby, like body. And now it's almost like the flip side with the motivational speaking and the book and the intellectually coaching someone and having empathy and listening to them and guiding them. And it's such a journey. I'd love to hear more about your TED Talk, because I know you talked about struggle. Let us know the title. And how pivotal was that TED Talk for you? Because I coach speakers, and everyone that I meet wants to do a TED Talk, and you've done it. So tell me about that experience.
It was right in the midst of COVID. It was this time in 2020 that I got to speak. So COVID actually did me a favor because I got a chance to really work on what I was going to write for the speech. So the speech, the TEDx talk was How Struggle Grows Through Hastings Street in Hawke's Bay. Yeah, amazing experience. A lot of people often say, you know, you never see the work that goes behind something like that. And I spent hours in front of the cattle on the old property I used to live at that time, speaking to them, my TEDx talk.
I thought you were going to say I spent hours in front of the camera, but no, I spent hours in front of the cattle.
Yep. They were a very good audience too. If you ever know young cattle, they are curious. So I'd sit on my deck and they would come up to the fence. I was blessed. We at the time had some acres and they were great audience actually. They never criticized me. They just always stood there and listened. But that's, jokes aside, that there was a lot of work. I really understood my story, and I've even got better from that. I've, you know, marketing, branding all came from that's where it started in the TEDx. Yeah.
And so the outtaking message from that is around struggle.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. And yeah, so that's pretty much telling my story of how my accident and the things I discovered that, all stripped back, there's a quiet message in there of unconditional love. The more I gave myself unconditional love. And that's, I suppose that's the backstory of what was behind my accident. There was a voice in my head that always said I wasn't good enough, that I had to try harder. It came through school, with schoolwork. It came on the rugby field as well, that I was tall and lanky, even though I was a strong farmer boy. I was never quite good enough in my head, and it made me push a little bit too hard, that it put me in that position of dislocating my neck. So the talk is all about finding unconditional love in the journey, and so is my book, actually. It's the same idea.
I think many of our listeners will be able to relate to that. I know in the coaching world, right, when we talk about limiting beliefs, one of the most common limiting beliefs is I'm not enough, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not whatever. I'm not strong enough. I'm not enough. Comes up, not for everybody, but it is quite common. So that's so fascinating that you can see that, the I'm not good enough and then pushing too hard, which is what a lot of people do. Not necessarily literally, but yours was literally in that moment. But a lot of people pushing too hard in their life to achieve, to prove themselves. It's exhausting. Does life feel like a different pace, a different energy to it now, the way that you're living now?
Yeah, definitely. It's not pushed. It flows. It's more, it's still a learning in progress, you know. I think we all are in progress of learning, and it's definitely with ease and flow. And because I came from the background of where I came, of that push energy, I have to remind myself constantly. And, you know, the more you remind yourself constantly, the more that becomes quieter in your life. But you have to replace that with that ease and flow, if that makes sense.
It does. It's like it's a new habit, forming a new habit. It's easy to kind of slip back. For those of you that might have just joined us, we're talking today to Wayne Forrest. We're talking about self-development. We're talking about reinvention. And in a moment, we're going to be talking about showing up as a masculine man. For those of you that have been listening along, we would love to hear your comments, your questions. What is resonating for you? You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. Wayne, I would love to hear more about
your views on this. What showing up as a masculine man or a modern day masculine man, what does that mean to you?
It means the ability to stand in your truth, and not the truth that's around us, but the truth inside us. It means that you're calm, confident, and your unconditional love for everybody. It means that it means that you're in touch with that feminine as well. So it's a combination. It's a modern man of being able to stand in that power, stand in that fire of a dream, and know and have the confidence to step into that every day and step into that truth. You know, stand up for what, when you need to, stand up for what you believe is that truth. And that means you have to be vulnerable. It means that you have to own your flaws and own the weaknesses of the past or the conditioning. It means that we have to own our pain. And by owning our pain, we can not focus on it, but see it for what it is, as conditioning in this life that we get to live, which is a great honor, and then stand in that unconditional love for ourselves first so we can give it to everyone around us.
What do you think society would be like? Let's just say 2025. What would it be like if more men did that, if they were able to be vulnerable, but also owning their flaws and owning their pain?
I think to go forward as humanity, it's going to happen. I think I have great faith in that. There's people like you and I, Nat, that don't just speak it, but we work on ourselves constantly to be that. So first of all, I think it is going to happen, and more men are finding that spiritual side, that inner warrior, because that's just going to be, they'll get to a tipping point, I believe, where humanity will just be unconditional love for each other. We'll be able to take different perceptions and have open arms around that person, even though we mightn't agree, and have unconditional love for that lovely perception, which is different to yours. And if you've got two or more people doing that in a discussion, there's no hatred. There's just, you know, it's just openness, and there's just discussion, and there's I love the idea that perception, you know, it's the will to be able to see your point of view and my point of view, and that's pretty cool. That's going to create a very loving, strong society.
Well, I agree. I agree. And I do feel positive the way that you also do about the shift and in this, the masculine and the feminine, the different ways that we're showing up. It's interesting for everyone. I just love to invite everyone listening to have a little think about maybe something that is holding you back. Wayne was talking about feeling not good enough. And it's interesting because I haven't really connected with that myself, but what I have connected with, and I had a moment last week, even though 90% of the time I'm like positive and happy and all's good, I did have a moment last week where my website has been down for 4 months and I've been ringing up crazy domains. But to be honest, I've been prioritizing everyone else and everything else in my life. And I just had a moment, and this is ironic. I was trying to get the security, the SSL certificate, and I paid the credit card and whatever. And I just had this moment where I just got to the point where I just felt, here's my limiting belief. is I'm not supported. You know, like I have to do it on my own. So for me, it's not, I'm not good enough. Maybe they're the same thing. I don't know, but I'm not supported. And that was big for me. It was interesting that it was about security because I sometimes feel like, you know, I'm the one that has to protect myself and I'm the one that has to do everything. And so I allowed myself to have a little bit of sadness, but then also realizing I don't need to do everything. And I do support, you know, promote, look after, nurture a lot of people and a lot of pets in my life. But I think it's really interesting to notice where we fall to when we're feeling our lowest. What is the message? So I'm going to go to you now as a coach. For anyone that walks through your door or gets on a Zoom with you, everyone's got different things that hold them back. Everyone is here for different life lessons. What is one of the questions that you ask your clients to ask themselves?
The first one is, what would you truly love in your heart? There's something incredible about that question because when we really touch on it, and a lot of people are scared to go too deep, you know, they go, oh yeah, I'd love this, I love that. But what I've found is if you just pick something, and it might be health and wellness, it might be relationships, it might be career, or might be just going somewhere, you know, time freedom. If you pick something and just create it and then push it out, okay, if I really would love that, if I thought real big and I had no challenges in the way and everything worked out for me, what would I do? And by stretching yourself like that, Natalie, the obvious thing that comes up is what I call the paradigm. So the paradigm, like, often is, oh, I can't do that, or why I shouldn't. So we get this voice in our heads that shows us the paradigm that is limiting us to create the thing that's in our heart. So once we get or see the paradigm, I like to play a game with it, you know. It's like every time you see that paradigm, you're allowed to knock it on the head, you know. It's like one of those games where the little thing pops up through the hole and you whack it on the head.
Whack-a-mole, yeah.
Yeah, whack-a-mole, or just imagine you've got a snake and you've got many heads, you're allowed to cut the snake's head off, you know. And by having a bit of fun with it, we reframe that limited belief into the inner goddess or inner warrior belief, which is nothing is limited. There's unlimited possibilities. So from that aspect, that's what you would love. So then you can get to reframe that lovely limited belief into the goddess or the inner warrior's belief of the dream.
So good. I'm writing it down. Transforming limiting beliefs into limitless possibilities. Mm-hmm. So well, there's so much we can do in terms of our thoughts and the power of our thoughts. Thank you so much for that impromptu coaching session. I would love to ask you now, Wayne, if you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, you've got about 1.5 months left. What would you do or not do?
Up my brave? I have never done skydiving, so one activity, and I'm a big chicken, so it would have to be skydiving.
Okay, you said it. You said it out loud.
I know. Damn. I was afraid of that.
Well, that's an awesome one. All right, what is coming up for you, either socially, business-wise, and how can people connect or find you online?
I've got a part of my family possibly moving to Australia. So I'm the 3 grandchildren with my daughter. And so I'm going to be making sure I connect well before they leave next month. But also business-wise, I've got a couple of workshops coming up, which you can find on my website. And I've got a couple of events. So which are also on the website.
Amazing. Well, what is the website? Can you say it or spell it for us?
Yeah, it's wayneforrest.com, which is really easy. So it's my name, But Forest has two R's. So I like to joke, it's Run Forest Run.
We can remember that. WayneForest.com. And what socials are you on? Is it LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, LinkedIn and my personal Facebook are the main two. Okay. But I am on Instagram as well. And yeah.
Are you Wayne Forest on Instagram?
Yeah, Wayne Forest NZ.
Okay. I will follow you there. I'm Up Your Brave. I'll go check out your reels.
I love it. Love it.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Wayne. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Any final words of wisdom that you have before we wrap things up?
Yeah, wake up tomorrow morning and do what you love. Just bring a bit of joy to your life.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Wayne, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
You're listening to Up Your Brave on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
What an incredible guy. I am so curious to hear how you responded in your thoughts, in your body maybe, to some of the things that Wayne was talking about. If he impacted you, then please give him some love on the socials. You can go look him up, or even if you see his beautiful face on our RCR socials as well, maybe give him a comment. I loved so many of the things he said. When we hit rock bottom, we look in, we meet our inner warrior. He talked about being a modern, masculine man and standing for your truth while being calm, confident, and unconditional love. So much wisdom there. You can follow him, as he mentioned, WayneForest.com. He's got workshops, so much wisdom. You can check out his TEDx talk. And if you're just joining us, if you missed my intro today, I'm coming at you from the Queenstown studio. So many of our beautiful supporters out there have helped us to make this a reality, which is having a professional recording studio. And I happened to be down for the Safe and Effective event. I was MC at this massive event in Queenstown Central and at the Ridges. It was amazing. It was moving. It was intense. And I'm here in the studio today. So it's exciting to be here with you live on the live stream. If you like this interview, you will also love my previous interviews, one with Rob Mokaraka, and also my interview with Stacey Taylor. So check them out on the replay page. You just go to realitycheck.radio, click replays, and go to Up Your Brave. Yesterday, I was in the studio. I was chatting with Rodney. We got off on a tangent, as we do. We started talking about dating. And I said to him, Rodney, if anyone's listening, what women want these days, especially freedom, truth, empowered women, we want a masculine man. We're used to being independent and confident and leading the way, but we actually want to be cherished and looked after. So there's my little insight for our listeners today. I love that Wayne was talking about how to be a masculine man. So good. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh. And coming up next, I'm chatting with the incredible Carrie Dell. Carrie is a returning guest to the Up Your Brave show. We're going to be chatting today about wellness game changer with frequency, where science meets nature. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you so much, Natalie. It's so awesome to be back here again.
I'm excited to dive into frequency. It's a word many people know. Some people don't know what it is exactly. For those of you that don't know Carrie is a frequency activator, a vitality goddess, natural health practitioner, and mental health coach. And she has a very fascinating story. Over 20 years ago, she was told by two specialists that she wouldn't be able to conceive children naturally. This started her deep dive into finding natural solutions for herself. And she really didn't stop until she found ways to heal her body. She has 6 formal qualifications along with numerous certifications. And by the way, she did go on to have children naturally, and they are now teenagers. With over 20 years experience assisting people and companies to exceed their performance expectations by ensuring they are healthy and balanced. While in South Africa, she received numerous awards. She was featured in magazines and newspapers. She even had her own TV show as well as her own radio show. Cheers. It's so much fun. She's passionate about creating vitality goddesses and warriors, teaching deep wisdom on creating optimum health, wealth, and joyful lifestyles to millions of people. Well, Carrie, I'm so thrilled that you're going to share with our, hopefully we've got a million people listening. That would be great. With our listeners today, let's start off. I just want to ask you a general question because we haven't caught up in a while. What is new in your world? What's going on lately?
Well, I've actually just returned back from a trip to South Africa, which is my homeland. And it's always good to catch up with people there. It's always good to feel my earth on my feet on that part of the earth and feel the African spirit and the vibe. There's just such an energy there. It's amazing. Beautiful quality time with family is so important to me. Really, really important to me. It was for me a recharging of my energy and just really connecting very, very deeply with my mom and dad, who are very much so getting ready to transition. And so it was quite an interesting trip. And then besides that, I get back and so much is happening here. I'm so pleased that I've just recently received notification that I'm a top coach in Auckland, which is absolutely incredible, because a couple of years ago I received an award to as the international WildFit Master Coach. So that was international, and now I've got local, and it's like it's all coming together so well. So yeah, there's a lot happening on the work front as well as on the family front. So all is good. All is good.
Exciting times. I think a lot of us can relate in terms of, not so much myself, my parents do live in the same country as me, but having family living overseas and just having that separation, so magical when you get to reconnect with them. So I'm really glad you got to go over and see them. Let's dive in. I wanted to ask you first up about this concept of where science meets nature. Because there's a lot of people out there, you know, I'm married to one. We call them data people or analytics, and they love the science and the facts. So talk to me about, what do you mean by where science meets nature?
You know, when we think about, there were some incredible scientists in our world over 100 years ago, and they all discovered that there was so much to do with frequency, and frequency that could heal, frequency that could expand everything that is happening in our world today. Albert Einstein was one of them. And Albert Einstein actually said the future of medicine will be frequency medicine. And then we had Nikola Tesla, and he was saying, you know, if you look at the secrets of the universe, it's all about frequency, vibration, and energy. And so really scientifically, we know that in our human bodies, our brain waves are electrical waves. Our heart is actually magnetic waves. And our gut is actually circadian rhythms. So we are full of energy, vibration, and frequency throughout our whole bodies. And if you think of somebody in hospital, for instance, I was in hospital with my mom, and you have that heart monitor machine, and that's actually measuring your heart. It's measuring the energy of your heart. It's measuring the frequency of your heart. And as long as you've got that heart monitoring machine going, you're alive. You're alive. The minute there's a flat line, there's no energy. There's no frequency. There is nothing that you can do. So I truly believe that all the scientists that were really, really at the forefront of everything is frequency and energy, we now today have tools and we have the knowledge that we can absolutely put into place in order to activate more wellness in our lives more than ever before. More than ever before, we've got so many tools that are frequency based that can actually enhance our lifestyle.
Well, I made some notes there, the heart magnetic waves, the gut circadian rhythm. So interesting. What do you mean by tools? What kind of tools are you talking about? Like devices or techniques and like daily habits?
Yes. So really, when it comes to frequency, I work with both. So there is there are tools that measure your bioresonance. There's tools that measure your quantum frequency within the body. I work with a lot of these tools. I see what's happening at a cellular level. I look at musculoskeletal, digestive and immune system, hormones, heart and brain. If there's any imbalances, we can even do a deep dive into what your stem cells are focusing on. Where are your stem cells healing? We can look at your biochemistry. We can look at the pathomethology, or we can see if there's any pathogens, which means if there's any toxins that are blocking your energy waves and could be blocking you from actually feeling your full health and vitality. So we've got tools that actually can analyze. everybody that goes, you know, into hospitals and into the Western world, you know, those CT scans, those X-rays, those MRIs, a lot of them, the ECGs, they also based on actually frequency. They're actually based on actually looking at us at a deeper level. So my tools are just slightly different to that. But when I have a look and I can see, you know, where are the imbalances and where are the blockages, then think about the frequency in our food. So this is what I love talking about because, you know, I talk about putting living food into the living body so that we can live longer. And there is, unfortunately, dead food around. There is highly manufactured, highly processed, loads of refined sugars that are thrown into our foods, chemicals that are put into our foods that actually destroy our body and slow us down. There's so many people after eating a hamburger or a plate of pasta, they go, oh, you know, I feel so lethargic. I feel like I'm in a coma. And that's true because your cells have slowed down once you actually put something like that in your, you know, into your body. It takes a long time for us to process those type of foods. Whereas living foods, your fruits, your veggies, things like that, that have got a high vibration, they've got a high frequency. You put those living foods into our living body, our cells come alive. Our cells actually just ignite and they do the healing. They do the healing. Our bodies are brilliant. Our bodies were made to heal. If we just treat them right, they accelerate as far as the healing goes. So I do have a couple of healing frequency machines as well. Once we find out what the blocks are, we can work with food, we can work with nutrition, and we can work with healing equipment as well.
Yeah, because I'm a big advocate for being aware of our physical environment. So I love that you talk about food. I also think, you know, the physical space where you spend time. So for our listeners, have a think, you know, where do you spend the majority of your time? So you might go, so for me, I work from home in my house, but what room is it? Like, you know, my little office downstairs, or for me, I'm actually such a sun bunny that I spend most of my time wherever the sun is, that's where I am. I'm like a cat and I move around the house. But, you know, I'll spend a lot of time in the kitchen and it is on the south side. So at certain times of the day, I'm like, I'm not going to be in the kitchen now. I want to be in the sun, you know? So, being aware of our physical environment as well as, the people that we hang out with is really important, but I'm intrigued here when you say like measuring the blockages and things, how do we do it? What do? Is it like, you know, when you go to get your blood pressure taken and they put something around your arm or whatever, how does it work? Do you breathe?
So this might blow some people's minds. But the technology has improved so substantially nowadays that I have a little box that is, it's called a DNA black box, where I put DNA into the black box. Now, initially, when I first started doing this, yes, it was hair samples, it was blood samples, it was nails, it was part of our DNA. Nowadays, we can do it on a photograph.
What? I thought you were going to say you had to breathe into a machine or something.
We do it on a photo. So I have loads of my international clients. They send me a photograph. That's what I work on WhatsApp because it's the easiest platform for me to receive and send voice notes and things like that. Send me a photograph. Send me some of their details. So in other words, date of birth, height and weight. So we're really just tuning in. We get the technology and it is really a software program tuning into them. And it's like they are this little radio station that's out there. My little software tunes into them. And I have had people across the world say to me, how did you know that? How did you know? So I'll pick up, you know, I said to this one client, is there something wrong with your right elbow? Like it keeps on showing up. What is happening with your right elbow? And he replied back to me, he said, that was a rugby injury from 30 years ago. And it's causing me issues now. He said, how did you know about a rugby injury from 30 years ago that could be niggling at me now? So it is incredible that the software is out there. And that's why I
is this a full body photo or just a face?
No, just a face. Close up of the face. Just a close up of your face. That's all I need. So so everybody's taking selfies and sending it to me. but really, this is why I say where science meets nature, because the scientists from over 100 years ago, they discovered all of this. The recent technologists have put this into software programs. And then we look at nature. Yeah. Now, you spoke about the environment, and I keep on telling people we've forgotten how much healing is in nature, how much healing there is looking at the sun, how much healing there is looking at the moon, the full moon, how much healing there is just being on the ground, how much healing there is being in rivers and lakes and just being with nature around us. So if I can have a look and see what's going on in your system, and I have people coming and saying, well, they don't say, I say to them, your eyes are looking like there is a lot of eye cell activity and there's visual fatigue. I said, how often do you take a break from the screen and look at a plant in your office or look at a tree outside or look at the sky? You know, how often do you take your eyes away from the screen? And often they sit in front of a screen for 8 hours. Mm. You know, they really are focused on everything that is. It's either a laptop or it's a cell phone or it's a TV screen.
But if they go from one to the other, I know.
Yes.
And when I say they, I mean sometimes me, but definitely not 8 hours a day. I would, well, maybe it adds up though. Wow.
It does add up before we know it. We're always looking at screens. We always got our feet cut off from the earth and we're always in a box, whether it's a car, whether it's a train, whether it's an office, whether it's a house. And so it really is about taking the concepts in nature and implementing them more into our life and being aware of where is it going to work for you. Because I think this is what I have really found with working with all this technology is that every person is unique. Every person is different. Every person has different imbalances in them. They have different pathogens that run through their body. They might have bacteria, viruses, parasites that have come from different places. And they're in different places in their body that could be causing blockages. And then how do we use nature to enhance our well-being? How do we use nature, herbs, foods to actually destroy the pathogens that are causing these issues? And then how do we get out in nature and bring back our rhythms, bring back our circadian rhythms, bring back our menstrual cycles, bring back the cycles that actually work well with our systems? I don't mind saying my age. November, I'll be 55. So it's my 5-5 year. And I've been through menopause. And I don't think we need to suffer through menopause. I really don't. I have so many women saying, my metabolism has slowed down. I've got mood swings. I'm really irritable. You know, everything's affected. I truly believe that does not have to be the case. If we are in rhythm, if we have been in rhythm, there is ways that we can work with nature for you to go through menopause smoothly, for you to go through pregnancy smoothly, for young teenage girls to not suffer when they get their menstrual cycle. So there are ways out there, and we really just have to tap into nature and then know where our blockages are.
Well, that's so fascinating. You know, I did an interview a few weeks back with Kate Billing. We talked about menopause. And I'll try to put the link on the replay page to a few other interviews that are relevant, which I aim to do, don't always achieve it. But one of the things she mentioned just at the end of the interview was she mentioned that what she found is sometimes women that have a hard time with pregnancy, like their body, they generally will have a harder time with menopause, and whether that's a physical thing or an emotional thing. And I'm like you, Carrie. I'm 51, but I feel like I'm having quite an easy ride, I got to say, with the whole menopause. I'm like, maybe I'm in perimenopause. I don't think I'm in menopause. I'm not really sure. I don't have mood swings. I'm not really irritable. I'm very consistent. I do have a headache once a month for 24 hours. That's literally the only sign I have. But and I'm open to your thoughts on that. But I think part of it is when you talk about nature, I'm a big essential oils nerd. And I always say it's one way to bring nature into your home, you know, in the diffuser and using the oils. But I also, I literally just got back from a walk outdoors with my dog. I love spending time outside. So I don't know if part of it is like actually what I'm doing that helping my menopause journey, or the fact that I actually had pretty good, easy 3 natural, no dramas, no traumas births. And that is a true indication of my menopause. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? The relevance of how smooth your pregnancy was through to your menopause experience?
I think there is definitely a correlation there. There really is. And I also think there is a belief system that goes with it, because there's a lot of women go, oh, my mother suffered through her pregnancy, so I need to suffer. Or my mother suffered through menopause, so I need to suffer. I'm going, no, you can break the cycles.
Yeah, don't own that.
Exactly. Just because your mother had bad pregnancies or menopause doesn't mean you have to. It really doesn't mean you have to. So I think there's a belief system that needs to be tapped into. And I do believe that at any time during a woman's life, we can actually make a difference. So, so if she had a good pregnancy and she's now having a bad menopause, we can break that cycle as well. It doesn't have to always be like that. So, but I also want to say your essential oils, your dealing with herbs, you walking outside with the dog, all of that is benefiting you hugely on your menopause journey. So I think all of that you are doing is making it more easeful. So well done. I think it's a good thing.
Well, thank you. I thank you for that. But also, I think you're right. There's so many factors that play into it. And I'm very visual. So with my hands right now, I'm drawing like rings, you know, not so much the Olympic rings, but you get the gist. Overlapping rings. Like there's the physical environment. There's the food you're eating. There's the mindset, you know, the beliefs like, oh, my mom had a really bad journey. So therefore I will. No, break that ring. You know, there's the nature time and the nurture time and the people you hang out with. And I think there's so many things we can do. So what I'm hoping, and I'm sure that people are getting a sense of hope and upliftingness from this interview, I'm going to go to you now to share a few other specific things that people can do to change the pattern of their health. And because it really is not too late. And I love that message. What else can we do to move towards better health and have more of a game changer with our wellness?
Yeah, the wellness game changer is really there because I truly feel like I have been able to make huge, huge changes in people's lives for the better. What you said there about these rings, I'm 100% on board with that because in all of my coaching, I coach about physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We are spirit beings on this journey. And so we can't forget about that. We can't forget about our mindset. We can't forget about our belief systems. We cannot forget about how our emotions affect our physical and our mental. Everything is interlinked. Everything is interlinked. So definitely in my coaching programs, I have looked at all of those things in order to touch in. But what I want to say is something for everybody to please implement immediately. Delicious water. Delicious, delicious water. Now, we know that when we age, we are actually, our cells get dehydrated. So as we age, we should be drinking more water. The skin gets dehydrated. We should be drinking more water. So we can actually slow down the aging process just by increasing our water. But I also want to say, for those of you that don't know about Dr. Emoto, Dr. Emoto is amazing. There's lots of YouTube videos. He's written a couple of books, but he was also a scientist that had a look at water and realized that the crystal structure of water can be changed through words. And because we are made up of mainly water in our system, what are we saying to ourselves? What are we saying? Are we saying, yes, I love me. I'm proud of me. I'm so grateful for my journey, where I am right now. Or are we saying, oh, I'm a fool? You know, even if you just, you know, dismiss something that you've said as like, oh, you know, I'm stupid. It's actually going into your cells. It's going into your cells. It's making an impact. So we can change the structure of our internal cells by having more water and actually speaking very kindly to ourselves. So if that's something that everybody can actually implement immediately, you will feel more positive about yourself. You will feel that your body is hydrated. It can actually heal. It really can heal. So yeah, drink more water and speak kindly to yourself.
I like that you say delicious water. I was literally just having a sip from a very large glass. I have water, filtered water with green mandarin oil, and it is delicious. So what do you mean by delicious oil, delicious water? Because I think, you know, we really don't want people, I always say tap water is crap water. What do you mean by delicious water?
So delicious water is speaking into the water to make it delicious. Mm. So when my kids were little and they would go off to preschool, everybody, you know, all the other children would have their juice bottles and have, you know, whatever they were having in their bottles. My kids had delicious water. And so really our program, it was filtered water, but I programmed them about delicious water. As they got older and bigger, they just drink delicious water. So they know how delicious the water is and how what goodness it does in their systems. So for me, it was really, you know, for the last 20 odd years, I've been saying delicious water. And for me, that makes a frequency change in how you feel about the water and how the water reacts in your body. So you can say, I'm grateful for the water and change the structure of tap water. you can actually, you know, even though the tap water is coming out there, you can still change the structure by your words.
Okay, I probably shouldn't say tap water is crap water then. Maybe I'll just start saying delicious water instead.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah. I always learn something on these interviews. So good. For those of you that just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Carrie Dell on the topic of wellness game changer with frequency. If you'd like to send us a message, what is resonating for you so far, or what questions do you have? You can send a text 2057. You can send an email inbox at realitycheck.radio. I would love to know, Carrie, is it possible? So when we talk about healing, is it possible for everybody to tap into our healing abilities? Because obviously things like the frequency test and just knowing what's wrong is going to be help us. But then what do we do about it? How can we help our own body to heal?
100%. Absolutely 100%. You know, I get a lot of people that they are shooting in the dark. They are wondering about this and this and this, and they buy hundreds and hundreds of supplements. And then they go, I still don't feel well. I really don't feel well. But we have got an innate ability to tap into our intuition. Our intuition, I feel, is your gut feel. I also really know that if your gut is clean, your intuition is higher. So if we actually are eating the living food and putting living food into our living body, you are more inclined to tune into your intuition and be guided to what is good for you. When I talk to families and I teach a lot of children about eating healthy, I often get the kids to go into a fruit and veg shop and I get them to hold something. So hold the apple, the banana, the sweet potato, the cauliflower, whatever it is. You hold it and you hold it close to your heart. And then you ask the question, will this be good for me? And if your body moves into it, it is good for you. If your body moves away from it, then it's like, oh, you don't need it right now. So you can feel into everything that you want in your life. And that goes for medicine. It goes for supplements. It goes for herbs. It goes for essential oils. It goes for like, is this good for me right now? Do I need this right now in my body? And your body will communicate with you. Your body will talk to you. Now, I have, as I just mentioned earlier, I went back to South Africa. One of the reasons I went back to South Africa was actually to say goodbye to my dad. My mom ended up with heart failure, so she ended up in hospital at the same time. But my dad, the doctor said, you've got to come say goodbye. You've got to come say goodbye. Do you know that I had a conversation this week, which is now, you know, I've been back a while, and I had a conversation with my dad. Crystal clear mindset. I actually said to him, Dad, you sound like you've got energy. And his response back to me is, I'm actually strong. I'm strong. So my belief is, as long as you're alive, as long as you've got that heart beating, as long as you've got the frequency and energy in your cells, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. And I do believe in miracles as well. I have seen stage 4 cancer patients absolutely healed. I have seen tumors disappear. I have seen things that people are worried about being a chronic disease or chronic illness absolutely, you know, just get removed from the body. And I have seen this in 80-year-olds. So I'm going, well, you know, if an 80-year-old can heal, so can a 30-year-old, so can a 40-year-old, 50-year-old. So you've got to have the belief in you. I think that's where it starts. You've got to have the belief. My dad's spirit is not ready to go. I know it's not ready to go. And so all I did is when I went there, I just enhanced it. I did put essential oils on his feet and rub his feet. I did make sure he was having living food. You know, I did make some just little changes. And absolutely, there's ups and downs because his body is frail, very, very frail. There's ups and downs. But I truly believe, like, if you can start whenever, if you start today, your future self is going to thank you. Your future self is going to thank you for getting rid of the processed dead foods. Thank you for putting the living foods in you, in me. And I do believe it has a lot to do with your mind, your soul, your emotions, and your physical body.
Well, what a beautiful story with your father and going over for that connection. It's so powerful when we can get there and see them rather than, right, just going over for the funeral. Most of my listeners know I have a soft spot in my heart for the elderly because I work with them every week. And just yesterday, we were talking about the importance of water because a lot of them have so many cups of tea and so much coffee. But we were talking about the importance of water. I'm going to start saying delicious water to our listeners. Obviously, we don't want you to feel overwhelmed, but just choose one thing. It doesn't even have to be the same thing every day, but it might be living foods. It might be delicious water. It might be the mindset. So just choose, you know, if you can do all three, but if you can choose one thing from some of the things Carrie's sharing with us today, I think that will elevate your vitality. She is the vitality goddess, which is so good. I agree. The body is so powerful. It's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about age. Thank you for sharing your age. I've always been very transparent with my age. What age should we generally people be living to?
Well, if we go back to the Bible stories, you will notice that in the Bible stories, they were living to 300-400 years. So I do believe that we should be living longer. I also believe that what we were taught at school was 70+10, which is 70. So I think we've been a little bit brainwashed that 70 is the age, and nowhere near 70 should be your age. You should be at least going for double that. I have friends that are definitely aiming at 150 right now. And they feel very positive that they can absolutely get to 150. I think there is the incredible medical technology that is around that can definitely get us there. I also feel there's enough frequency tools around that can definitely get us there. I also think that what has been impacting our longevity is the processed foods. It is the refined sugars. It is the stress in our lives. So it's the chemicals and it's the fast-paced life. But I also truly believe that you don't have to be living in a bush in order to have that longevity. We can take all the good stuff that we have at our fingertips and we can implement it and aim for 150. So yes, why not go for it? I think that should be the new normal.
One of my previous guests, Roberta, she talked about aging backwards. And I decided when I had my last birthday, I was like, okay, starting today. And I told my kids, I'm aging backwards starting today. And I think that's obviously a mindset thing. It's also being very conscious and making what I like to call empowered choices about what I do with my time and my energy and what I put in my body. And I'm not pedantic with food. I'm very intuitive with eating. Like sometimes I'll be like, and I'm in natural, what's it called? Intermittent fasting. I naturally do that because I just kind of forget sometimes to eat, but then I'll have a big, if you see my Instagram now and then, it'll be like eggs and tomatoes and salmon and avocado. Like that's my jam. I'm trying to reduce my bread intake at the moment, which is challenging. So interesting. So are you aiming for 140 yourself?
Well, it was so interesting because I had my daughter when I was 35 and her and I've got a really, really close relationship. And she says, Mom, I don't want to live without you. That was her words. Like, Mom, I don't want to be in this world without you. She says, and I'm aiming at 103, which means you've got to aim at 138. So it
looks like
I'm aiming at 138.
That sounds great. I love it. I love the mindset around that. So good. So good. Yeah. What else can you share with us in terms of frequency, some things that people might not realize? And I don't know if you're able to say, but what are some of the common, I think you use the term blockages, but what are some of the common things that come up for people when they send their photos? Do you see a pattern? Do you see certain things coming up a lot?
Well, often people come to me when they're not getting, obviously, any medical answers. I kind of search and then they find me. But I have had some women with leaky bladders. And what I found specifically in this one 24-year-old woman with a leaky bladder is she had spent 2 years with the doctors. The doctors had enlarged her bladder. She still had a leaky bladder. And they said to her, she needs to go and see a psychologist. And she was like, what? This is not in my head, you know? So when she found me and we did the whole analysis, I found a nest of parasites in her spine that was on the nerve to her bladder. So we did the detox, got rid of the parasites, and her bladder was 100% fine, absolutely fine. So I am finding a lot.
When you said that, I got to jump in. When you said she had a surgery to increase her bladder, I was like, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah. And this is it. When she was going through all the tests, the tests were coming back normal, and they didn't know what else to do. So they went in and that's how they're taught. So they don't know any different. And that's often what the answer is. Well, let's go in and see, except these bodies weren't made to be cut open. We really weren't made to be cut open. So there is so much that we can do with our intuition and so much that we can do with the tools that we've got nowadays that we don't actually need to cut to see what's actually happening. So so yes, I'm getting a lot of children with parasites. A lot of cancer patients have parasites and viruses. Those are the two big things that I'm seeing at the moment with cancer patients. So as the minute that we can actually clear that out the system, you know, they do sit in the nerves, they go around the blood. It's always good to clean the blood out. A big blood cleaner is cayenne pepper. So if you can sprinkle some cayenne pepper over the salads or the meats or whatever that you're having, it really is awesome as a blood cleaner. So there's definitely herbs and spices that can really go and clean things out. But yeah, I'm getting a lot of people with parasites and viruses at the moment.
What do you generally do for parasites to detox that?
Very good question, because it's food and herbs. So the really good herbs that are good is dandelion root, wormwood, black walnut. Black walnut is amazing. Wormwood is amazing. So they are natural plants that grow. Food-wise, believe it or not, dates. Dates kill off parasites.
Amazing. I just had one of those really expensive big dates yesterday. Yes. So
yes, the Majol dates are awesome. They're absolutely awesome. So yes, dates. And then when pawpaw or papaya is in season, I always tell my clients to eat the seeds. The seeds actually kill off the parasites as well and eliminate them out of your system. But once again, you've got to have a really good detoxing system and detoxing pathways. So it's not just about killing them off, but you've actually got to get them out. So I have a lot of people that have liver issues because they felt that they are bloated, they've got wind, they've got heartburn. All of those are indications that food is fermenting in your body, which turns into alcohol, affects the liver. So I have a very quick 9-day liver cleanse, which is phenomenal, because I've had people with cirrhosis of the liver and I've had them regenerate their liver cells, which has been incredible. So making sure that your liver is detoxing properly, I think, is number one. And then killing off the pathogens or parasites, and then supporting the body, like enhancing the cells of the body. So for me, it's a protocol I follow with all my clients is we detox, we kill pathogens, we support the body.
Yes, I think that's so important to mention, because it's like you can't just munch on a few papaya seeds and sprinkle some cayenne pepper and think you're good to go. So, right? Because it does help, but you're like, there has to be a process to actually rid them. Otherwise, you're going to just constantly, they just keep making more parasites. So yes, someone like you obviously can help people with that, which I think is really important. But I love that. I love that we don't just have to go. And a lot of people are struggling with, I don't know what it is. The medical system doesn't know what it is. It doesn't have to go to, let's go and explore internally. We can look at other options. Amazing. Anything else that you want to mention that comes up quite often?
I think a lot of people don't realize that their body is always communicating. And so if there is a pain, there's a reason for that. If there is an ache, there is a reason for that. If there is, like I mentioned, heartburn or different bowel movements, if there is constipation, if there is diarrhea, there's reasons for all of these things. But sometimes we get so busy that we just ignore. And the more we ignore the body, the more the body goes, well, I'm not communicating with you anymore. I'll just accept that we are bloated after we're eating a certain thing. Well, I'll just accept that this is it. Well, we tend to just accept. So the people that clean their bodies out, I know a lot of the family members go, oh, you're so sensitive to that now. You can't eat that now because you're so sensitive. Actually, it's not being sensitive. It's just your body communicating. So our body will actually always speak to us. So if people can just tune in to those little voices, because when somebody comes to see me, it's really about, you know, what has your body been communicating with you and what has been ignored, or what do we need to look at? Because really often you have your own answer. You know what you need to do and you know what is actually upsetting you inside. And it could be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual.
Okay, Carrie, before I go to my wrap-up questions, I really just want to understand the process. So when you work with people, sometimes I know you do multiple things, but there's this photo And then how do you help them? I know there's many things we've mentioned today that they can do on their own with lifestyle and food and delicious water. But in terms of the frequency healing, how do you then support them? Like, are there other tools and technologies that come into it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have done a lot of research. I have, honestly, for the last 25 years, if there's something that comes up, I look at it, but I look at it in a lot of detail. I go through so much research and I test it. I test it on my machines that I've got. I want to know that it's strengthening our cells. I want to know that it's enhancing our wellness. And so that's why I test products and I test everything. So two things that I know for sure has an absolute positive impact is the LifeWave X39 patches. They're actually absolutely incredible. It does enhance the well-being of us. So the LifeWave patches have been very, very positive. The second thing is the Rife machine. And the reason why, and there's lots of different makes of Rife machines out there, but I've got one in particular. And the reason why I deal with these manufacturers is because I know what they've programmed into the machine. I know that I can program the machines. And so when I detect specific pathogens in the body, I program the machine for my clients to go directly to that and destroy what needs to be destroyed that's blocking the pathways, removes the toxins, and starts enhancing their health. So it's very, very powerful way of dealing with your health. It's not shooting in the dark, very specific for you. It's very specifically targeted. And that's the protocol I work through. So, and then there's nutrition, obviously, as we've mentioned. So I work with people and I work with their budgets and I work with what can they actually afford and what needs to be done. And so if it's just enhancements on the nutritional side, there's meal plans and recipes. If they can afford the LifeWave patches and the Rife machine, we go all in and we just target everything that we need to do, and they feel a difference.
I actually ran into one of your clients at a party, not a party, but a gathering of people, and we were standing around chatting, and he was doing some sort of nutritional, you know, following one of your protocols at the moment. So there was like all this food on the table, and I'm just eating everything. And he was like, oh, at the moment, I'm not allowed to eat that. And I'm, you know, he was basically, and he said, oh my goodness, even after, I think it was only a week or so, he was noticing a difference. So he was a little bit overweight and he was really wanting to get his health on track. And he was like, just raving about you. And I was like, I know, Carrie. So funny. That's so good. Amazing. So people can find out, I'm going to ask you in a minute how they can get in touch with you. But before I do that, if you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
So a big thing is speaking the truth, which is sometimes really hard to do. But I am finding that the more that I speak my truth, just from authentically being me, there's no other way that I can be. And so I'm just doing it more and more. And anytime there's a little niggle in me, it's like I've got to speak up and I've got to speak out. And so I watch those little niggles. And I go speak my truth, and I've got to be really open and honest about it. And yes, sometimes it's not nice for somebody to hear a different type of truth, but you know, with me, you're always going to get the truth. And so for me, it's just staying aligned with being able to speak my truth.
I feel like when you speak your truth, it would come across really well. You just have this very loving, gentle, informed, but also like confident, but a very gentle way of communicating. I feel like I'm just so direct. And when I speak the truth, I sometimes have to like soften it slightly. I feel like with you, it would land well. So yay, keep it up. It's not easy to do, is it?
No, it's definitely not easy to do. It's really not easy to do. But there's just, I think I've got to an age and stage where there's so much evidence around me that that I have to just speak what is really true in this world, which is nature and science, which I've managed to combine. And I really do speak that. And you know, I am very transparent with my clients. When they come to see me, they see everything that I see on the screen. I can't hide anything. So we have to actually just unpack all the truth and go, right, now that we've got it all out, what are we going to do about it? And how are we going to absolutely make your wellness your priority? And it seems to be working really well.
Well, thank you. That segues nicely into how can people connect with you? How can they reach out and get in touch? Whether they want to work with you or just maybe follow you on socials.
Yeah, so it's kerrydell.com is my website, kerrydell.com. I've got a Kerrydell Linktree. I've got Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. So all of those socials, and it's all Kerrydell.
Nice. So I'm going to spell it for everybody because Kerry can come in different ways. K-E-R-R-Y, Dell, D-E-L-L.com. Amazing. And on Instagram and all the places. Great. What else is coming up for you in the coming months, Kerry?
Beautiful things are coming up. We're looking at 2025. So in 2025, I've got some awesome programs. In fact, my business is scaling and I am teaching people to do what I do.
Yay.
So yes, I have got a new intake starting in January 2025. And there's two different ways. One is just the Vitality Coaching. If people want to learn more about frequency coaching, we're starting a new intake in January. And then the others that want to learn more about the equipment and how to utilize the equipment and start their own business, there's a new intake coming in January as well. So on both sides, I'm very excited about teaching people exactly how to scale and how to expand and how to bring the science and the nature together with lots more frequency. And yes, so if anybody wants to learn more, I am very excited to be able to teach them. There are certifications as well that go with them. So yeah, very, very exciting.
Well, I'm excited to hear that too, because one of my taglines as such is, you know, I help the people who help the people. And I love that you are about to, you know, essentially coach the coaches, you know, so that more people can be out there doing this so that we can all live to be 140. Who's in? Who is up for that? Very cool. All right, Kerry, wrap us up. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
I really want to share that please don't give up on yourself or loved ones that are suffering. There is hope and there is miracles, and I have seen both. And all we got to do is really just tap into nature and tap into ourselves. And when our body's in balance, it heals itself. So please don't lose hope.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Kerrydell, for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Up Your Brave on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Oh, I just could listen to Kerry all day. She's such a sweet, wise, fun, and friendly woman. I've known her for many, many years. But you know how people come into your life and then they come back in? She did a post about her business and she talked about being the Vitality Goddess. And I was like, boom, that is so me. I'm so curious. So we reconnected. This is a couple years ago. And today was her second time on my show. I love the work she's doing. And she brought up so many things that I just think, why do we not know these things? So she talked about gut and circadian rhythm. She talked about frequency in food and putting living food into the living body so that we can live longer. Like a lot of the stuff she talked about, it's obvious, but you want to be intentional. You actually need to do it. For example, taking your eyes off the screen and looking into a plant. And I thought, I've got plants. I love plants. I just need to take my eyes off the screen and stare at them. We can do these things, people. She talked about delicious water and parasite detox and the power of the seeds of a papaya and more. If you want to find out more info, you can get in touch with Kerry, kerrydell.com. I'll spell it for you, K-E-R-R-Y, Dell, D-E-L-L.com. She's got her free 9-day liver detox, and she also does those consults where you send a photo, and she can give you some insight from that. If you like this interview, you're also going to love my interviews that from the past. I talked about menopause with Kate Billing. I talked to Dr. Sarah Farrant. I talked about food and frequency with the amazing Deb Rock Evans and Karen Creighton. And also my interview with Greg Briers. So much goodness to choose from. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today, for joining me here in the Queenstown studio, wherever you're listening in from. Maybe some of you are overseas. Maybe you're here in New Zealand. Thank you so much. It's been incredible to be back in Queenstown. Like I said at the top of the show, it's like going down memory lane. I actually used to guide bike trips here for wealthy Americans. So I was running these 5-star cycle tours, staying in fancy hotels back in the day. This is probably 15, 20 years ago, back when I used to ride a bike. But yesterday I went with a fabulous new friend and I did this very long hour and a half walk in the Arrowtown Hills. It was so stunning. The scenery here is out of this world. I'm so happy that I was able to come back to this area and have a look. She was a very good listener. I kept giving her lots of parenting and personality type insights. We had some great conversations, as you do when you're out in nature. In 2025, I just want to put it out there, I'm keen to travel, not too far, but I'd love to go to Christchurch where my daughter's going to uni, so I'll be keeping a keen eye out for any events. Also, Wanaka, I didn't make it over there this time, but I'm keen to go back to Wanaka at some point. So get in touch if you have a Voices for Freedom group or you're looking for a speaker or MC. I'm keen to spread my wings a little further in 2025. I will be next week at the Go Green Expo in Auckland with my doTERRA essential oils. In fact, this weekend I'll be there, Saturday and Sunday. So if you're in Auckland, come and say hi. It's such a fascinating time. You know, somebody asked me yesterday about, has it been great for your business, you know, being on RCR? And I said, actually, you know, never in my 15 years in business have I made so little income, but made so much impact. And for me, at this stage, impact is so critical to me. It's more about passion and purpose than profit. You know, I had some people come up to me at the Safe and Effective event, and they look at me and they say, thank you so much for everything you're doing on RCR, like you and your team. So it's not just me, you and all the people. And I say, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing a post or sending a link to a friend who doesn't yet know. Because there's so many people out there who they just don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And a lot of them don't know about Reality Check Radio. And as much as we love to talk, you know, me, Paul, Alistair, Rodney, everybody, Marie, we are here to change the face of, we're here to change history. We're here to have a massive impact. That's why these guys work so hard here in the studio. And I'm really, it's an honor to be part of it. So thank you so much for listening today, listening to all the shows you might listen to. Also, thank you to my incredible guests. We had Wayne Forrest on earlier, followed by Carrie Dell. And I just wanted to give huge gratitude to them and all of my previous, I think I'm at about 150 plus guests that we've had over the past year and a half and many more to come. I will see you next week. Good luck in the next week coming. Up your brave in whatever way, whatever that means to you. It comes in different shapes and sizes.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you. So connect with us today.